Continuing education is more essential and more strategically valuable than ever. The old model of front-loaded education is no longer viable. Today's learners need relevant and flexible CE to keep pace.
And we have a free resource to help your learning business provide that kind of high-impact learning. The Strategic CE Playbook introduces a practical framework to help you strategically design and deliver continuing education programs that will succeed in today's complex and competitive market.
The playbook focuses on three essential levers: personalization, portfolio thinking, and performance.
To learn more about the three levers and how to use them effectively, get your copy of the Strategic CE Playbook at leadinglearning.com/strategic-CE.
Whether you're setting strategy, revisiting an existing strategy, or planning how to deliver on a strategy, the end of the year is a natural time to do the work.
I'm Salisa Steele.
I'm Jeff Cobb, and this is the Leading Learning Podcast. It's nearing the end of the calendar year, and whether the calendar year is also your fiscal year or not, now is a great time to be thinking about strategy.
Dan Pink has a very interesting book called When, The Scientific Secrets of Perfect Timing.
Dan Pink has a lot of interesting books.
He does indeed. And I was lucky enough to get to talk with him about several of his books for the Leading Learning Podcast. But the reason I brought Dan Pink up now is because in When, he writes about how there's natural momentum for certain activities at certain times. And thinking about the year ahead at the end of the current year feels natural. It's common. And so we want to use this episode, one of our last of this year, to talk about strategy and planning.
And this is indeed that time of year when so many organizations, at least that we deal with, really are starting to try to think strategically about the coming year and to formulate a plan around that strategy. And we'll talk a little bit about the difference, I think, between strategy and planning here in a minute. But part of what you need to develop a strategy is good information to go on, good data to go on. And there are a lot of places to get that, but one of those places is
hopefully Leading Learning. We have been running an annual trends and issues survey among learning businesses for, gosh, I guess I should have counted up before we sat down to record.
It's been
a
while.
But many years at this point. And we typically run that survey in sort of the final quarter of the year and then share those results, you know, at the end of the year and the beginning of the new year so that you do have some of that benchmarking data, some awareness around what other people are thinking about that are in similar circumstances.
And for the past several years, we've been really asking essentially the same set of questions. We've been asking about a set of areas that we know are important to learning businesses, where they might be focusing some of their efforts, things like, you know, micro-learning and blended learning and the types of areas that we know organizations are focused on, and asking them, are they doing this now? Will they be doing it in the coming year? And we've gotten some great data from that. We've gotten some, you know, some real insight into what organizations are doing in I think there are 14 different areas that we've asked about.
Yeah, I think 14 most years. I think one year we had 15 and sort of backed away from it. But I think that had to do with blockchain was the one that we
finally just decided nobody was doing anything with blockchain.
So, but what we did find out is that people are now doing a lot in those other 14
right.
areas. And what sort of started as more fringe trends, you know, things that people might be thinking about but hadn't necessarily done a lot with when we first were asking about them, had tipped over into standard practice, into something that most learning businesses were doing. So it began to feel less helpful to sort of ask how many people are already doing this or planning to in the coming year once we really hit that majority, and often a strong majority, were already doing it or planning to in the next 12 months.
Yeah, I mean, things like micro-learning or virtual conferences or using data to make decisions around their learning. These are kind of table stakes now. Most, as we're saying, most organizations are doing that type of thing. So this year we decided to just really tear it down and build back up, completely revamp the survey and try to get at what we think is most important right now or what might be most helpful right now with an eye towards, you know, how does this help with potentially coming up with a strategy or informing your strategy for your organization. And I mean, we went through a pretty intensive process to try to come up with a concise set of questions because we know how hard it is to get people to respond to surveys. This one is no different.
And thank you to any listener out there who took the time to complete the survey. We are truly grateful that you gave up some of your time. The survey on average takes less than 10 minutes to complete. So we're grateful, though, because we know, again, like you're saying, Jeff, it can be really hard to actually get people to participate. So thank you to those that did.
And I would say contributed some of your time because you're giving to the community when you do this. If you work in this learning business world that we talk so much about and that we work in, you'll recognize there's not a lot of data out there. I mean, you can get sort of higher ed data or you can get association data, but data that's really specific to the providers of continuing education and professional development who are having to market and sell this and serve learners, and specific data around that is practically non-existent other than what we've been doing for several years and are now trying to, you know, build upon and improve upon. So if you want that data to exist, if you want to be able to use it in your planning to make your case for budget, for all of those sorts of things, you know, the only way to get there is for all of us to contribute to it. So, you know, as you were saying, Lisa, thank you to those who have. If you have not, you know, participated in this type of research in the past, please, please, you know, when it comes around, make a few minutes to do it.
Okay, now we put away our soapbox and Jeff, back to revamping the survey. Maybe we can just talk a little bit about kind of the process and the thinking that went into that. We've already talked about it at the highest level, just that we recognized a need to rebuild it kind of from the ground up just because it seemed like the data we were getting back was no longer as valuable as it had been initially.
And we did this in close collaboration with one of our new best buddies, good old ChatGPT. And this was not simply a, hey, ChatGPT, write us a survey sort of thing. We've been in a continuous dialogue. I have a conversation set up with ChatGPT that I've been sort of feeding data and thoughts into for several months now, taking the data we've collected from different events, from conversations we've had, from things we've written, feeding that all into this conversation and continuing to ask questions and probe and have conversations. So getting to the point where ChatGPT really has a good understanding of this whole learning business world that we work in. We've developed personas for the type of, you know, people who are leading learning businesses. So it's very, very well informed at this point. And so then the conversation was, we want to go out and survey around what's going to be most important for this group, for the learning business in the coming year. Where are people going to be focusing? Where should people potentially be focusing? And have that conversation. And that led to, I think it was the sixth iteration of the survey that we finally went with, you know, after a lot of back and forth and actually arguing with ChatGPT. I prompted ChatGPT to be much more critical of the survey at one point and, you know, really tried to poke holes in it. And we ended up with what we now have used for this year's survey.
And so once you get past a few upfront kind of general questions just about the kind of organization you represent, then we get to strategic goals.
Right. You know, one of the first things we wanted to ask about in the survey is, what is your primary strategic goal for the coming year? And for that matter, what's your secondary strategic goal for the coming year? And this was a place where, because, you know, we have done so much work in this world of continuing education, professional development, the broader learning business, we had a pretty good idea of what the choices might be. So we did lay out some choices for respondents to select from. And we did also leave it open for people to say, no, it's none of those, it's something else. But maybe we can talk about what those choices were.
Yeah, we offered 7 defined choices, like you said, Jeff, based on conversations and our observations of learning businesses and what they're dealing with. And those 7 are increasing revenue, enhancing learner engagement, growing enrollments and or registrations, strengthening alignment with workforce needs, advancing equity, diversity, inclusion, and accessibility, improving marketing reach and effectiveness, and then finally, increasing operational efficiency. And for us, I think starting off with these strategic goals kind of just puts a frame around then all the following questions, mm-hmm. right? In the past, when we had asked about trends and issues, we kind of got pretty quickly to those trends and issues. I think this puts people in a different mindset to sort of start off by asking about strategic goals. And this aligns with our own thinking, right? Rather than sort of chasing any particular trend or issue, hopefully whatever you're doing even if it relates to a trend, has some connection, some tie to a strategic goal.
Right. And of course, this is a critical element of developing a strategy, is you have to know kind of what your aspiration is for whatever time period you're defining for this. So what is it? What is it you're really trying to achieve in the coming year? And if you're not clear about that, then if everybody, you know, who's involved isn't clear about that, it's really then hard to get clear about, you know, what you're going to do tactically to achieve it. You might end up kind of being all over the map, which we find, you know, happens with a lot of organizations.
Yeah, I feel like just at an event we hosted in last week, that the difference between strategy and planning came up a lot. I think a lot of organizations, including learning businesses, can feel mired in the planning, right? It's much more about the to-do list and getting things done and checked off rather than really understanding the strategic why. Why are you doing any of those particular things?
Yeah, I mean, those should all track back to really the choices you've made. I mean, strategy is about making a set of choices, you know, around who you're going to serve and your general approach to serving them. And you have to have that well-defined before you can then start talking concretely about we're going to do, you know, X, Y, and Z according to this time schedule. So those were what we defined as potential primary strategic goals. But of course, part of the reason that we're raising all of this in the first place is to prompt you to reflect a little bit. You heard what we asked about as potential strategic goals for your organization. And you may even want to pause right now and think about it. You know, are you clear on your goals for next year? Do the goals we suggested, do any of those align with what your primary or secondary strategic goals are? Or is it something else? But make sure that you've been clear about those choices and the people that need to know about the choices that have been made are aware of them.
Now, we also asked about drivers behind the strategic goals. And so, again, for me, the idea of drivers is that those reflect the broader context in which your learning business is operating, in which you're trying to realize those strategic goals. So being aware of that broader context is important because it ties very directly to some of the choices you might make about how you achieve any of those strategic goals, or even potentially helping to keep you aware of the need to shift any of your strategic goals based on what, if any of the drivers might change, for example.
Right. Now, I think of this in terms of one of our, you know, favorite theorist writers about strategy is Richard Rummelt. And he says that strategy always starts with a diagnosis. You have to have the diagnosis correct. And I think, you know, really having an understanding of your drivers is an essential part of that diagnosis. Because when you're making the choices about strategy, you're trying to respond to that context, to that diagnosis that you've made. And so this question is asking people to say, you know, what are they sort of seeing? How are they diagnosing their situation and seeing the major strategic drivers for their education business?
And so we offered seven choices again. I believe it's seven anyway. We'll see if my counting was correct. But this one was a multi-select, right? For the primary and secondary strategic goal, we were looking for one thing in response to each of those questions. For this question, they could select as many of these as they felt really informed their strategic goals. And so the options we have include evolving learner demands, a need for stronger competitive positioning in the market, a need to increase financial sustainability and or profitability, better alignment with mission, desire to be seen as setting the pace in the field or industry served, compliance with industry standards or regulatory requirements, and then the last one we named, internal pressures. So that could be from management or administration, from a board, for example.
And so having heard those, and of course you can pause and repeat if you want to, that's the beauty of listening to a podcast, or you can go read the show notes when we're all done with recording this. And reflect on those. Reflect on your own and or reflect with your team. Do any of those reflect your strategic drivers? How many of those reflect your strategic drivers? Because there's bound to be some overlap. And there may be some other ones that are specific to your situation. But that's the key here, is really objectively understanding your situation, diagnosing it well, and having those strategic drivers really inform the choices you're making about strategy, those goals that you're going to pursue.
So then after looking at strategic goals and looking at the drivers behind those strategic goals, then we got to trends and issues. And so this is kind of This is the part of the survey that in some ways most closely parallels previous iterations of the survey. But even this list of trends and issues we refined and tweaked this year. And I think we asked about 8 specific areas, and we asked about essentially how important these are. So we're on a scale of 5-point scale from not important all the way up to critical.
Right. And these, again, for me, are kind of a part of that diagnosis. They're part of the overall context, kind of understanding, you know, your drivers and then and also those trends and issues that are going to play into your strategic choices. So the things we asked about, first one is probably no surprise, advances in artificial intelligence. Then workforce and employer needs. So for example, job readiness, upskilling and reskilling. Then learner preferences for flexibility, which might include formats, scheduling. Then providing more personalized learning experiences.
And then the last 4 that we asked about, increasing competition from other learning providers, growth in micro-credentials, digital badges, and other forms of alternative credentialing, virtual and or hybrid events, and then diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility in education offerings.
And of course, there was also an open box on this. So if there's something else that you feel is really impacting you in terms of trends and issues and that are going to inform your learning business strategy in 2025, you have an opportunity to put that in.
Yet again, this is an opportunity for you, whether right now to pause the podcast and do some reflecting, or to do it later, and whether you want to do it on your own or with your team if you do it later. But really do think about what are the trends and issues that are informing and impacting and influencing your strategy in 2025. It might be, you know, some of these 8 that we mentioned. It might be some other things. But again, this is all about being aware and being on the same page with your team. And so this is a good exercise of just making sure how clear are you and making sure that others would agree with the same answers that you're giving here.
At Tagoras, we partner with professional and trade associations, continuing education units, training firms, and other learning businesses to help them understand market realities and potential, to connect better with existing customers and find new ones, and to make smart investment decisions around product development and portfolio management. Drawing on our expertise in lifelong learning, market assessment, and strategy formulation, we can help you achieve greater reach, revenue, and impact. Learn more at tagoras.com/more. And so now, having asked about drivers and about trends and issues, we turn to asking about challenges that learning businesses might be facing. And, you know, what are the top challenges? And we characterize these as specifically in maintaining or growing enrollments and or registrations for your education offerings in the coming year, because we know that is, in fact, going to be a major focus for most learning businesses.
And we offered 7 choices in the context of the survey. We said pick up to 3. As you're reflecting and thinking about your own top challenges, we would just encourage you again to, if you're nodding your head and saying yes to everyone that we're going to read off here in a minute, that may be true, but perhaps there's some value in prioritizing and thinking through right, which of these challenges really are posing the largest problem or challenge for your learning business. And so you might think about it as kind of up to 3, which 3 are giving you the most trouble. So we asked about limited marketing resources, increased competition, pricing challenges, lack of learner engagement, difficulty proving return on investment to learners or to the other stakeholders like employers, content that's become outdated or declined in relevance, and then insufficient internal resources. So that could be staff. Maybe you don't have the right human resources, or that could also be budget. Maybe you don't have the dollars to do what you want.
And once again, an opportunity to reflect here, you know, how many of these challenges align with what you're facing and what, you know, would really drive your strategic choices. And again, as you were saying, Salisa, we ask folks to prioritize. You still only pick 3 because that's part of being able to make those strategic choices. You have to decide what really is most important, at least for some period of time, to focus in on what challenges are you really going to try to rise to. in the coming year. And it might be others. You know, and we do provide that other possibility here as well, just depending on your specific circumstances.
And then after challenges, we turn to barriers, and we characterize the barriers as being about innovation in your education offerings. And again, we ask you to prioritize. We ask survey respondents to prioritize, to think about what are your top barriers. And so out of the list, we asked them to pick up to three. This was a shorter list, though. We only offered five preset choices, and then again, an open-ended opportunity there. But the five start with internal resistance to change, and then difficulty finding skilled staff or resources.
And then we ask about concerns about return on investment, focus on short-term goals over long-term planning, and then insufficient technology infrastructure. And as you said, this is a somewhat shorter list for folks to choose from, Salisa. It really reflects our experience with organizations. In the first place, we hear people talk a lot about how they're just not able to innovate within their learning business, that is just a challenge for them, which is why we wanted to ask about this in the first place. But then these are some of the most common barriers we feel like we hear from folks. So again, you can reflect, are these the types of barriers you're facing, or is there something else that's holding back innovation in your organization, your learning business?
And I'll just note that one of those options, focus on short-term goals over long-term planning. I mean, again, we sort of opened with talking about the balance between strategy and planning and the sort of long-term versus short-term. We hear that in this answer choice. So we just have seen a lot of organizations trying to strike that proper balance between long-term and short-term, between strategic and more tactical decisions and actions.
Right, right. Okay, so some challenges and barriers there. And then we thought it'd be good to sort of cap off those two questions with a question about kind of competence. So we ask, given your learning business's current resources, and we focus specifically on resources, we know that may be other factors, but given your learning business's current resources, how confident are you in achieving your top strategic goals for 2025? So we've asked people to say their goals, think about the drivers for those goals and the trends and issues and some of the barriers and challenges they're facing. And so now at this point, you know, knowing what they have to work with, their team, their technology, their resources, how confident are they? And this was a 5-point scale. So we said, not at all confident, not so confident, somewhat confident, very confident, and extremely confident.
And I think this is interesting to think about in the context of assessments that take place in learning, where there is an approach to assessment which asks a learner, particularly in the context of multiple choice, to not just select a multiple choice answer, but then to say how confident they are that that answer is right. That can be a useful tool as a learner to then recognize, okay, I was really confident about that one, but I got it wrong. You know, so that can point you to what you need to go and assess. Obviously, in this case, there is no exactly right or wrong answer, but I think this idea of tapping into confidence is really valuable because you can have your plans, you can have your strategy, but there's a certain amount of mindset that goes along with being able to make that achievement, which ties to confidence. And I think, too, if you recognize that you're not particularly confident, that then leads to a question about, okay, well, why am I not so confident? What might we be able to do that would change how confident I am in our ability to achieve this, which, you know, might get to staff or budget, or it might be, you know, then a lever you can use with making the case for additional allocation from the budget, potentially, you know. But it's, again, I think just this awareness and being really clear on the drivers and on your own confidence level around achieving what you're setting out to achieve.
And I think this doesn't happen enough in, you know, sort of strategy formulation sessions or in, you know, planning sessions that follow on from strategy, asking the people involved, how confident are we really about this? Just pausing and saying, do we have this right? Both the overall strategy and then the tactics that we're going to use to pursue the strategy. And as you said, you know, if you're if you're not at all confident, you might want to ask why. But I think the reverse is also true. If you're very confident, you need to ask why, because you may want to do some, you know, worst case scenario planning. What could go wrong here that we're just not, you know, giving enough weight to right now? So, you know, this is one small question in this survey, and we focus specifically on resources. There are other things, you know, like the environment around you, that your context that you're operating in, they could be big factors. Spend some time talking about your confidence overall, though, when you're doing this strategy work.
And then we ask about areas of investment. And this is aligns with our philosophy in the way we ask a lot of questions. We do a lot of surveying as part of our consulting work. But one thing we always like to ask about is actions and behaviors more than preferences or plans. And so in the survey so far, been talking about trends and issues. And here, this is around investment. What areas are you planning to most actively invest in the coming year? And for us, that's where, you know, it's putting your dollars where your mouth is, you know, like sort of how serious, what are you actually serious about? What are you going to spend some of that limited budget on?
Yeah. And then, of course, we can always sort of see how things actually go during the year. And if we're seeing that, and then how questions are answered the following year, if we, you know, ask this question again, we've seen that with past versions of the survey. But, you know, what we asked here, I'll take the first few and you can take the second few, Salisa, because we give a number of choices here. So out of the investment areas, we start with increasing learner engagement, then measuring learning outcomes more effectively, developing employer-aligned offerings, implementing artificial intelligence, and expanding micro-credentials, digital badges, and or other alternative credentials.
So that was five. We have another five that we listed there. Increasing efforts to sell to corporate and or organizational purchasers, increasing efforts to partner with other organizations, enhancing marketing and outreach efforts, improving capabilities in data analytics. And then the last option we listed was providing personalized learning experiences. And again, we wanted people to think in terms of priorities. So we asked them to select up to three. And there was, again, an open-ended box there. So I think this is a really good question to talk about with your team. What areas are you investing in the year ahead, and see how that matches up with your strategic goals? You know, this is a good place to look for alignment. You know, if you have clear strategic goal, are the areas where you're investing supporting that strategic goal, and just making sure that those really do match up?
Yeah, because, you know, some of these areas could align with, probably all of these areas could align with a variety of strategic goals. But for example, if your primary goal is to increase revenue, and then you say that you're going to invest in increasing learner engagement, you want to make sure you understand the bright line between learner engagement and revenue. Like, what's your operating theory as to why increasing learner engagement is therefore going to drive that bigger goal of revenue? And how are you going to measure that? I mean, you'll be able to measure revenue growth, but then how are you going to measure that increasing learner engagement actually supported that revenue growth? And you need to get down to that level of detail to really get your plans and your strategy in alignment.
And related to measuring, we asked about evaluating success and how learning businesses are evaluating the success of what they have in their portfolio. And we asked about a number of different ways that are pretty common among learning businesses, and asked if they're currently using these approaches already or planning to in the year ahead, not planning to in the year ahead. And then we gave a not sure, just in case a respondent wasn't clear there. But I'll do the first few. We asked about self-reported learner satisfaction. We also asked about self-reported learner application of knowledge or skills. So in both those cases, you know, these can be the sort of post-course evaluations, but you're asking the learner, like, how much did you like the course in terms of that learner satisfaction? And then for the one around application of knowledge or skills, it might be, have you applied something that you learned in the course? And that might be something you ask a week later or a month later, or you ask what they've done that applied what they've learned. The third option that we asked about were just enrollment numbers, just kind of flat out, just how many people are enrolling in whatever that option is in your portfolio. Then completion rates, out of those people enrolled, how many of them are actually finishing that course? And then revenue generation and or profit margins. So, you know, not just how many people enrolled, but then what does that mean in terms of revenue, or maybe even better yet, what does it actually mean in terms of profit once you deduct any of the expenses related to providing that opportunity to learn?
Right, that business side of learning business. And then some additional measures, metrics we asked about. Post-learning assessment of knowledge or skill. So once, you know, the course, the event, whatever is done, are you, you know, following up with that post-learning assessment? Post-learning assessment of application of knowledge or skills. Engagement metrics. So things like time spent in the activity or interactions in the activity. And then finally, post-learning career impact.
Now, you know, you might have a variety of different ways that you're measuring some of those last ones that you just ran through, Jeff. But the idea is that I think we know that being able to show career impact is very valuable. Mm-hmm. So if you can do that and collect that data and then be able to use that in marketing efforts, that's probably going to be very valuable for your learning business. And you could do that in different ways. It could be through some sort of survey. It could be through some sort of interaction with a manager once a learner's back at work, depending on what your level of connection is in those environments.
Right. Okay. So that was, you know, some measurement related to learning, related to business, you know, how you're evaluating the success of your education offerings. And we also wanted to ask a little bit about sort of business model type issues. So indicating your status with respect to certain product and pricing approaches. And many things we could have asked about here, we homed in on some that we feel are either common or we see some trending in their direction. So this included things like discounts for bulk enrollments or registration. So for example, if you're selling to corporate buyers, doing that business-to-business type of approach, are you providing those discounts? Another was subscription access to partial or full, your full education catalog. So are you providing a subscription model for doing that? Again, something we've been hearing a lot about, and we wanted to see, you know, how well that's actually playing out there. Third one was bundling products together for a discounted total cost. Do you have a bundling approach to give people more value if they buy more from you?
And then we also asked about purchasing a set number of enrollments or registrations and then maybe getting the next three. So you enroll in 9 online courses, you're going to get that 10th one free. And then we also asked about tiered pricing levels. So maybe you have essentially the same product, but there's kind of a premium, standard, and basic level. And at the premium level, you get some additional perks that you don't get if you're just buying at the basic level as a learner. Really, all of these are about, well, as you said, Jeff, the business models behind this. And it's often around trying to grow the number, the amount of dollars that any particular learner or any other stakeholder on behalf of learners is spending with your learning business.
Right. And now you may have noticed that AI didn't come up in that question around sort of putting AI into your products, or it hadn't popped up a lot in a lot of these questions. And that's because we asked specifically about AI and some of the questioning that we do here. And specifically, we wanted to know where organizations are, where learning businesses are in implementing artificial intelligence. And then we have a follow-on question from that. But in terms of implementing, we basically gave a range from not currently discussing AI up to actively using AI across most or all offerings, just to give us a sense, because obviously AI has been such a huge thing over the course of the past couple of years. And it does, you know, have just amazing potential in the learning business. In fact, we have a keynote speaker at our Learning Business Summit for 2025. He's going to, you know, talk about artificial intelligence as part of what he covers in his comments. So we wanted to see, where are we with it?
So that's kind of a walkthrough of the survey, and we're going to be sharing some results from the survey in another podcast episode here in a few weeks. But we felt like even before we got to sharing any results, and we do think that's valuable, we think that can provide some benchmarking type data and insight for you and your learning business. But we also believe that just the kinds of questions and topics that we probe on in the survey can serve as an aid in your own thinking about strategy and your own thinking about areas of focus and your own thinking about areas where you're going to invest in in the year ahead.
Yeah, so hopefully everything we've raised here are good points for reflection, good areas to prompt some questioning, whether that's just, you know, sitting down with a piece of paper or your, you know, your favorite digital note-taking tool yourself, or whether it is a conversation with your team. Leverage these questions. Of course, we also hope that you've actually participated in the survey or will do that when the opportunity comes around again. But just having this as thought material, we felt would be extremely valuable. Whether you're setting strategy, revisiting an existing strategy, or planning how to deliver on a strategy, the end of the year is a natural time to do the work.
At leadinglearning.com/episode440, you'll find show notes, a transcript, and options for subscribing to the podcast. If you haven't yet, please do subscribe.
We'd be grateful if you would take a minute to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, especially if you enjoy the show. Salise and I personally appreciate those reviews and ratings, and they help the podcast show up when others search for content on leading a learning business.
And please spread the word about Leading Learning. You can do that in a one-on-one conversation or an email to a colleague, and you can do it through social media. In the show notes at leadinglearning.com/episode440, follow the link to connect with us on LinkedIn.
Thanks again, and see you next time on the Leading Learning Podcast.